Father, we do want to thank you for what you're doing here, and we realize that this church is not about the facilities. It's not about the East Campus. It's not about the West Campus. It's about the people that you have touched, that you are using, that you spread out all over this city during the week, fill with the Holy Spirit and empower with your gifts to make a difference in the lives of people who are perishing. But Lord, we thank you for the facilities you have given us. We thank you for this 9 acres here. We thank you for the 4 buildings on the West Campus. We pray that we would use it to its fullest, ineffective towards the kingdom of God. And we thank you for the expansion here. We pray that things would go smoothly and that many more souls would be added to the kingdom of God. And we would be faithful in ministering to this city the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also pray that as we study your word today, that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us and that you would be our teacher. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The title of our message today is Humble Hearts and God's Favor. And that really, to a degree, says it all. If we have a humble heart before God, we will find favor from God. And I don't know about you, but I want God's favor in my life. If your heart is puffed up, if you are prideful, if you're a prideful individual, and I want to say this, and I really believe that this is true, there is not an individual in here, including myself, who is not prone to pride. The perils of pride are really dangers for all of us. You might not think that is the case with you, but I would encourage you today to reevaluate that. I believe that pride is something we are all prone to. And the Bible tells us that if we are prideful, God will bring us down. But if we humble ourselves, he will exalt us. Jesus himself said not once, but several times, if you humble yourself before the Lord, he will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself before the Lord, he will humble you. And God, and I've learned this, is good at humbling people. God's good at anything he does. Isn't that true? But God is especially good at humbling people. When he sees us and we begin to get prideful and think that we're something that we're not, and we start to say, yeah, I kind of got it together, don't I? God goes, yeah, watch this. Boom, oops, blop, there you go. And you get up, you're all embarrassed. Okay, I'm sorry that I have pride in my life. But God does that. Now, pride was the original sin. The Bible tells us Lucifer, Satan, that he was perfect before God. I want you to think about that. Perfect before God until the day that sin was found in him. It tells us something about the nature of pride. And that sin that Satan had was pride. He said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. And then the Bible says that he wanted to exalt himself and God brought him low. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. Then Satan becomes an example of when we try to exalt ourselves, how God can bring us low. But the nature of pride is interesting because Lucifer was perfect until the day pride was found in him, until the day his heart was puffed up. It means that you and I could be walking before the Lord. Everything could be right. God may be blessing us. We could be humble until all of a sudden, and this is the nature of pride, all of a sudden something happens and we go, yeah, I guess I am better than I thought, huh? I guess I really do have it together. I guess I'm really something special, not like all these other people that are here. And God says, all right, here I come. I'll take care of you. I'll humble you. And God does do that, and that really is the nature of pride. Not only was it the original sin with Satan, but it's also how he tempted Eve. Do you remember? He said to Eve, God knows that in the day that you eat this, you will be like God. Knowing good from evil. That was the temptation, that she would be like God. And then the Bible says when she saw that it was desirable for food, it was pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise, that she took it and she ate it, and then she gave it to her husband and he ate it, and we all fell into sin with that. So pride was connected to that original sin in mankind. Not only the original sin in that Satan fell in pride, but it was connected to the original sin of Adam and Eve. I was here recently. I've been studying the book of Isaiah in my own time, my own quiet time. I like to take time to read books that I'm not teaching on so that God can just speak to me from the Word of God. It's very difficult for me, by the way, not to be writing out sermons. I've got some really good notes on Isaiah that we're going to be going through when we make it to Isaiah as I'm reading through it. But one of the things that I wanted to do was go back and read the different kings that were kings during the reign or during the time that Isaiah was a prophet in Israel. the very first king, well, when Isaiah became a prophet, Uzziah was king over Israel. The Bible tells us some very specific things about Uzziah. He was 16 years old when he started to reign. He was a good king. He led Israel before God in righteousness. God blessed him and honored him while he was king. He drove out idolatry and idols from Israel, and God honored him. All of that is said there. I think it's in 2 Chronicles 25 as you read about Uzziah. But all of a sudden it says, just like Satan was perfect until the day pride was found in him, Uzziah was blessed and honored by God, and God was moving in the kingdom, and God was doing bringing blessings upon the kingdom because of Uzziah's heart before the Lord. And then all of a sudden it says, but Uzziah's heart was lifted up before God. All of a sudden, here came pride. And Uzziah picked up a censer, and he walked into the temple, and he said, I'm going to give the incense today in the temple. The Bible says that 80 of the priests withstood him. Now these guys are taking their lives into their hands, because a king wasn't like the president of the United States. The president of the United States has everything he does questioned, right? Everything. A king, nobody questioned the king. Because a king could say, I think I don't like you, kill that person. And so you didn't question the king. You didn't cause division or dissension among a king. Yeah, Uzziah had that kind of power, and these 80 priests withstood him, meaning they were taking their lives in their own hands, and they withstood him. And the Bible says he became angry. He became fierce in front of those priests, and when he did, leprosy broke out on his face. God struck him with leprosy as he withstood those priests, and then the Bible says Uzziah was a leper the rest of his days. Now, we've taught on Uzziah before. We've had messages on Uzziah. We usually talked about pride when we've done that. But for some reason, it really struck me when I was reading that here just a few weeks ago. For some reason, I looked at Uzziah and I thought, here he is going along, doing what's right, driving out idolatry, God's blessing. Everything is right. See, sometimes when we find someone has been in sin, we like to say, well, I knew something was wrong all along, right? I knew there was something all wrong all along with them. Because I think in doing that, it gives us a sense of safety. You know, I'm before the Lord right now, therefore that can't happen to me. But here's the truth. Any one of us could fall into pride. Any one of us could find ourselves saying, you know, I think that I am something. And when we do, we cross over into that dangerous territory where God says, I now will humble you. You know, the Bible says, judge yourself and you won't be judged. What? Boy, that's something great, isn't it? If I will honestly look at myself and evaluate where I'm at, and God says, I'm going to give you the right to first of all judge yourself and deal with yourself before I come in and judge you. Judge yourself and you won't be judged. Well, humble yourself and God won't humble you. If today you were to say, I want to walk humbly before my God, God says, I won't humble you. In fact, the opposite, God will bless you. Because God blesses those who are humble. God gives favor to the humble. Now, here's what I would like us to do. If your Bibles aren't open to Proverbs chapter 3, open them there now. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll start in verse 7. Then we're going to make our way through, oh, I don't know what it is here, 17 different verses throughout the book of Proverbs. If you want to follow along, I put them in order so you can kind of follow along by just turning a few pages over. So get your fingers ready to go, and we'll move at kind of a quick pace through these. But I thought it was good for us to make our way through Proverbs and to look at all of the different verses, or the majority of them, that speak of pride and humility, that we can kind of get a picture. See, sometimes it's really good to dig into verses, find out, you know, the roots of the Greek or the Hebrew words and dive in. But sometimes it's good to back away and kind of see them as an overview and get a picture of what it's all about. That's what I want us to do today with pride and humility. I want us to kind of do a flyover of the subject so we can see how God deals with the humble and how God deals with the proud. And then in the end, we'll talk about how we can deal with it before God deals with it. Kind of the idea, judge yourself and God won't judge you. So we pick it up, first of all, in verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 3, where it simply says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think more of yourself than you ought to, is what another passage says. But don't think that you've finally got it together, that you're really a wise individual. In fact, it's kind of interesting. The moment you think you are wise, you then prove that you're not. The person who doesn't think they're wise is the one who is really wise and really walks in wisdom. about the time that you think you've got it together, that you're not teachable anymore. I've kind of learned it all. You know, I go to church, I hear the messages, and I know all the things that are said. In fact, they ought to have me get up there and teach because I could do a much better job than he's doing right now. About that time, you're proving in your own heart and to yourself that you're not wise. A wise individual remains teachable. A wise individual realizes we have barely scratched the surface of what we can know about God, of what we can know about living for God and following after Him. And a wise individual says, I want to keep learning, I want to keep growing, I want to keep maturing, and there's so much more for us to learn. It goes on to say then in verse 34 of chapter 3, same chapter, then verse 34, surely He scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we talked in a message about how we treat other people? We talked about the importance of treating other people right. We talked about if you judge people, God will judge you in that same manner. We talked about if you're merciful, God will be merciful to you. And if you're forgiving, God will be forgiving to you. Well, here this verse is like it, but instead it says if you are scornful, God will scorn you. Now, the word scornful could also be translated mocked. If you mock people, God will mock you. And my guess is that God is a better mocker than you are. That's my guess. You may be great at being scornful. You may be great at mocking people. But God says, you're going to treat people with that kind of disrespect, then I'm going to treat you the same way. God scorns the scornful, but He gives grace to the humble. You know what grace is? Grace is something you don't deserve. Grace is goodness coming into your life, blessings coming into your life, favor coming into your life that you do not deserve. If you deserve it, it's not grace. If you deserve it, it's justice. Grace is when you don't deserve it. How much stuff have you received from God that you don't deserve? I believe, as the song says, we walk in fields of grace. One of the songs that we just started singing here recently, Grace Like Rain Falls. I love that song. Grace like rain falls down on me and washes away all of my stains. Whenever we see that, sing that song, I picture myself standing in the grace of God, pouring down upon me like rain. That will not happen if you do not humble yourself before God. God doesn't bring the clouds of grace into our lives unless we humble ourselves before Him. But He gives grace to the humble. Look at chapter 6. Verse 17. Now we studied this a little bit. Six things God hates. Yes, seven things are an abomination to Him. It says in the first right on the list, God hates a proud look. God hates when we are prideful in our looks. Chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord. Now we're getting a definition of what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance in every evil way. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, not only do you not want to be prideful, but you hate pride, and you hate arrogance, and you hate every evil way that you might be able to walk in righteousness and purity before the Lord. Then look at chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. When pride comes into our lives, then comes shame. And see, I don't think it might not necessarily be meaning that God's going to allow you to do things that are shameful if you become prideful. See, all of us have things that are shameful in our lives. Which one of us here can say, I've never done anything that I'm ashamed of? Anybody? Anybody at all? I can't say that. I've done things I'm ashamed of. I know every one of us in here have done things that we are ashamed of. And the Lord says, if you walk in humility, it's under the blood. It's forgotten and it's forgiven and it's separated as far as the east is from the west. But if you walk in pride and you begin to get prideful, God says, I can pull out some of those things you're ashamed of if you want me to. And it might be better for us to say, no, Lord, just keep them hidden. I'll go ahead and walk humbly before you. Because with pride comes shame. And I don't think that God has to do anything to reveal shame. He could work it out in a moment. It goes on to say there in that same verse, but with the humble is wisdom. When we walk humbly before our God, there's great wisdom in that. Look at chapter 13, verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife. The verse says a couple of things. Number one, it says there's no profit to pride. By pride comes nothing but strife. You may have been taught it's important to be proud. It's important to be proud of who you are. Nothing comes by pride. Zero. It doesn't help you out any way at all. It just creates strife. Because when you walk in arrogance and you walk in pride, you think you're better than other people. You want to tell everybody what your opinions are. You want to get everybody on your side because you're not teachable. Instead of being teachable, you're just kind of wanting to tell everybody, and it's just strife takes place. It goes on to say, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. In other words, you're not just trying to argue, being contentious about your point of view, but you're taking advice from other people. And there's always wisdom in that. Look at chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Everyone who is proud in heart, the heart is the essence of who you are, is an abomination to God. Now the word abomination, it is a stronger word for hate. When you hate something, that's bad. When it is an abomination to you, it means you really hate that. I lived at home until I was probably 20. I was almost 22 when I got married. And I lived at home until I got married. And my mom was pretty tolerant of some of the things that I did, as moms can be, right, towards their sons. And I would come home after work, and I would kick off my shoes, and I would take off my socks, and I had a little game that I played. I would shoot them at whatever across the room like a basketball shot to see if I could hit the swan on the TV or, you know, whatever, or the cat or whatever it was that was around for me to be able to shoot the sock at. The cat was a common target, by the way, just sitting peacefully, you know, and I threw my sock at it. Well, when I got married, my mom was tolerant of that. But when I got married, I quickly found that that was an abomination to my wife. She'd watch me come in and kick off my shoes and I'd shoot it across the room and she'd go, "What, did you pick that up now?" "Oh, I'm sorry, okay. That was an abomination. It was something she really hated, and I learned that. A proud heart is an abomination to God. Look at the same chapter, verse 18. Chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's the one we all know, right? That's the one we quote. Pride comes before a fall is the way that we say it. Pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. What does it take God to trip us up? If we become prideful, I mean, literally, it doesn't take much, does it? I remember years ago now, and this is when we first started. We had the West Campus, we had the mini chapel of the West Campus, we had Thursday night services. It sat about 300 people. This is back in 87, 88, I think, right around there. And we had Thursday night services. And this one particular Thursday night, it just had packed out. And during the worship, I remember looking out and seeing standing room only. People were lined up in the back because they couldn't find a seat. And I remember thinking, wow, things are really cooking now. And I got up to come across the stage when they finished the song and everybody claps and then they're done clapping. And I caught the cord on the speaker. And in front of all of these people, fell down on the ground. And I got back up again like you do, you know, really fast. Boom. I was like, 27. You bounce really good then. I don't so much anymore. But I got back up really quick. And of course, you look at the cord like it's the cord's fault, right? Like, it's the cord. Made me fall. But I remember looking, and everybody gasped too. Everybody went, because it was right at the end of the song, and I fell down. I got up, and I went, "I'm okay. I'm all right." And God says, "You really think it's you?" "No, God, I don't want to ever take credit for what you do." What does it take for God to trip you up when you become prideful? It doesn't take much. Once we begin to get that pride in our lives, God can simply stick out his foot in any area of our lives and trip us up. And God will do that because pride is such a devastating thing in our lives that God says, "I will not allow you to become prideful." And God is good at humbling people. It goes on in verse 19, the very next verse there in chapter 16. "Better to be of a humble spirit and lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Better to be in poverty and to be humble than to be rich and be prideful." Chapter 18, verse 12. "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility." Before destruction comes into your life, the heart of a man is puffed up and proud. Before honor is humility. You turn that around, you want honor in your life, then humble yourself before the Lord. You want to avoid destruction, then repent from pride. Chapter 21, verse 4. "A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. The very next chapter, chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Chapter 22, verse 28. You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. Chapter 28, verse 25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. Chapter 29, 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. And finally, chapter 30, verse 32. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, that's a great picture of when you do exalt yourself, it's a foolish thing to do. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand over your mouth. Now we get into the area of application. I think we all understand. The Bible is clear. It gives us example after example of when we exalt ourselves, God humbles us. When we humble ourselves, God exalts us. We have Old Testament examples like Uzziah. We've got pre-Old Testament examples like Satan. We have the example of Eve and her fall into sin. We've got the teachings throughout Proverbs on pride and humility. We've got Jesus himself telling several parables and ending those parables with everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. We have the teachings in the epistles in Philippians and in Galatians and in James, that if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. If we are prideful, then God will bring us down. James 4 tells us that God is against the proud, but he exalts the humble. Over and over again throughout the scriptures, there is no question that we want to humble ourselves before him. But the question is, how do I do that? I think, first of all, we need to receive the humbling of the Lord. When God sees fit to take us through a humble period in our lives, we need to receive that. We need to accept it. Sometimes we can go, why, God, would you allow this in my life? And God might say, because I need to. Because you're getting prideful. And I don't want you to be prideful. And I found to say to the Lord, all right, whatever you want to do, Lord. My life is in your hands. And however you want to humble me, then go ahead and humble me, because I know that I need it. However, I don't pray that God would humble me. Now, I've done that before. You know, as I'm talking about pride or thinking about it in my own life, and I find myself saying, Lord, would you please humble me? And then I was like, God, let me rephrase that. I really don't want that in my life, because I don't know what God's going to do. And he might say, I'll answer that prayer, Robert. You want it? Here you go, you know, in front of a whole bunch of people or whatever it might be. So I no longer pray, God, will you humble me? Here's what I pray instead. Lord, help me to humble myself. Help me to have a humble heart. Help me to humble myself, because if I can humble myself, if I can see myself as I really am, if I can see other people as better than myself rather than myself as better than other people, then God will honor me. God will allow me to walk in fields of grace. God will allow me to be in grace like rain that washes all my stains away. If I can humble myself, that ought to be our desire, where we might not even know how to do it. Lord, teach me. Teach me how to humble myself, because I want to be humble before my God. I want to see him respond to that humble heart that I would have, rather than God taking care of the situation himself, which we've seen over and over again that he's promised he will do. And God never breaks his promise, does he? So that if you and I are prideful, God will bring us low. If you go to the very first teachings of Jesus in the New Testament, you'd go to the book of Matthew, right? If you started chapter 1 and you looked for things written in red, you'd find the first statement of Jesus being when he's baptized by John the Baptist. Then the second statement of Jesus is when he's tempted by the devil, when he says three times, it is written, it is written, it is written, which is significant. It tells us that we need to rely upon the word of God in temptation, even as Jesus did. And then his disciples gather around him and he starts to teach him. You know what the very first point is that he teaches there in Matthew chapter 5? Don't look it up and cheat. I'm going to tell you anyway. You know what the very first point is? And you guys can guess. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. If Jesus thought humility was significant enough, that it was the very first point that he ever made in the teaching in the Word of God, the very first thing you come to as you begin to read the teachings of Jesus is to be humble. The Old Testament, it says there's three things that are required of you. Not three things that are suggested, but three things that are required. Do you remember what they are? To love mercy, to do justly. That is to treat people right. That's to do justly. To love mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly with your God. That's the requirement that we have. May it be, as we read here in chapter 30, verse 32, if we're exalting ourselves, put our hand over our mouth. Ask God to show us how to humble ourselves that we might have the favor that God wants to give us. Who knows how God would use us? Who knows what God would do? Who knows what restrictions are on our life right now? Because God knows that if he begins to use you in a certain way, you're going to become prideful. And he's just going to have to deal with you. How do we know that God might not just go, you know, I'd really like to, but forget it. There, I'm just going to have to really humble them, so I'm not even going to do it now. That if we would humble ourselves and see God do great things. And again, I reiterate, in this in closing, all of us are prone to pride. There is not one of us who is not. And that is the truth with everyone. Billy Graham, Chuck Smith, Charles Swindoll, Greg Laurie, whoever you, and then put your name at the end of that list, all of us are prone to pride. May we walk in humility before our God and see God do great things in our lives. May we never break out in leprosy as Uzziah did. Let's stand up and pray. And of course, I speak of that figuratively. Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you as we have taken time today to consider in the book of Proverbs, pride. And we've seen over and over again, all the way through that book, you return to that topic because you realize that pride is often in a man's heart. And you have promised us that you will bring us down if we exalt ourselves. But if we humble ourselves, you will exalt us. Lord, we need some help. We want to know how to humble ourselves. We want to do as Proverbs said. We want to put our hand over our mouth and not exalt ourselves. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to consider those that are around us, that we might be able to put their interest above our own interest, that we would walk in humility with them. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.